Hello, everybody, and welcome to Broad Topics number 7. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Welcome, everybody. We are joined over Zoom again by some of our favorite people. In order of appearance on my screen, we have Judy, Roe, JP, Kayla, Piper, Matt, Allison, God, I hope I don't mess up reading somebody's name. Mandy, Alicia, Tasia, and Randy. Hello, everybody.
Hey, hey.
Greetings.
How's everybody feeling since we last talked? We got a new president. The old one still won't concede.
Much better.
Two for the price of one.
Yeah.
I busted out some 2016 clothing.
Oh, nice.
Oldie but a goodie. Yep. So glad to see it back.
Pussy I know. Grabs. It's just been on the bottom of one of my drawers for 4 years. It's the Pussy Grabs Back tank top, and which I wore the night of the 2016 election, and then
womp. And then
contemplated whether or not I should like give it to Goodwill, because it was just really depressing to see it in my drawer. But I'm very glad that I didn't. Mm-hmm. Hung on to it these 4 years, and here we go. Still grabs back.
Little known thing about pussies. They will wait.
They are
Sicilian.
Till the moment is right, and then they will grab back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not a moment too soon.
Patience, man. Patience is a virtue.
They will hold that grudge until, you know, it comes back to roost.
Yes. So how's everybody else feeling? I meant to check today what the latest vote total was, but it still seemed like a lot, so that's good.
It's still like a winning margin.
It's still a landslide, right?
Yep, large enough margin where it's not going to change.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of crazy though when you think about how, like, so Biden is what, up to like, is it 78 million still, or have we broken, like, have we gotten to 80 million today? Like, does anybody know? Okay. If somebody could Google that for me.
We all have pocket computers.
That would be awesome. But it's kind of crazy. Like, he's got the most votes in presidential history, right? And then the second biggest vote getter is Donald Trump. But you know what that, but he's second, so he's still a loser. So.
Yep.
Indeed.
Yeah. That was a hashtag I was trying to make happen. Hashtag Trump is a loser. I felt it in my heart.
I feel like give it some time. That's going to take off. So Biden currently has 51% of the popular vote at 78,947,041 votes. So we're inching up there. Definitely very close to 79 as we speak.
Wow.
Trump trailing behind him with 73 million.
Right. Now you're going to have to reduce about, 30,000 of those from Georgia if Lindsey Graham gets his way. That is the only bit of news I'm really caught up on tonight. Today, the Secretary of State of Georgia gave an interview and said that several members of Congress, including Lindsey Graham, were like basically ordering him to stop, like throw out thousands of ballots. And then he called, who's the dude in there, the little guy, the congressman? He called him a liar, and it was a great article. I mean, it was great because he was just like, and these are members of my own party. And I was like, yeah, they don't. It's almost like we've been saying for years that they don't really care about you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I can find that article again. So somebody else talk. How's it going? How do we feel?
You don't have to worry about the hashtag, because when you search on Twitter, loser.
Oh, that's a very good point.
That pops up in people.
That is a very good point.
And our boy Stephen Fishpath is there too, but
I know.
We like that loser.
In the loser hashtag? I mean, I guess he technically did lose, but that's.
Well, because he has two. His Twitter bio says 2-time survivor loser.
Gotcha.
Trump's doesn't, though, so it's just even funnier.
Yeah.
Tasia said, you guys see SNL and Jim Carrey as Biden? I didn't really like Jim Carrey as Biden, to be honest.
I can,
but I liked when he did the loser thing.
That was just very satisfying.
I feel like that was the only reason that they cast him. They were like, we're going to get this epic. And I don't know why I'm searching through the WAPO app when I literally tweeted the article myself and I could just go to my Twitter feed. That was the dumbest thing. Come on, Colleen. get it together.
It's Monday night. It's all right.
That's true. That's true. Here we go. Okay. So he expressed, Raffensperger expressed exasperation. Woo, there's a word. Exasperation over a string of baseless allegations coming from Trump and his allies over the integrity of the Georgia results, including claims that Dominion Voting Systems, the Colorado-based manufacturer of Georgia's voting machines, is a leftist company with ties to Venezuela that engineered thousands of votes to be counted, Trump votes to be left out of the count. Wasn't there like this whole thing before the election about how those Democrats were objecting to those voting machines because they were like untested or something, or they had like software glitches?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
I know there was so much, but he also said that Lindsey Graham, he came under increasing pressure in recent days. He just said basically he's getting death threats and they are recounting the 5 million ballots, and several counties have actually reported that their hand counted ballots do match like exactly to the machine counted ballots. Okay, he called Representative Doug Collins a liar and a charlatan, which I just found to be. I was like, well, you know, true.
And
anyway,
here's the thing, like, you know, we should get an accurate count in Georgia, and whatever that means to you, you know, whatever. But even if we don't get Georgia, which we will. He still has 290 electoral votes.
Yes.
Right.
It is kind of, it's also very indicative, or not, maybe not indicative. It just, it's really not surprising that the state that now they're focusing so hard on invalidating the results are this state that, you know, the black woman did all of the, all of the work to try to get those votes. Yeah, it's on brand. It's on brand. Mm-hmm. Alicia said, just before coming on, I read that all of the Pennsylvania attorney firms quit. Ooh, can you tell us more about that? Because I kind of saw that on Twitter, but I didn't read it. No, okay. I think it's just that. I think he lost more battles. He lost more court cases today, right? And more of the attorneys are dropping out.
They haven't had one election. The only election one win they've had is getting those guys to the watchers to be 6 feet instead of 20 feet away. That's literally the only thing they've won. all the firms have quit probably because they're not getting paid.
That's right. They know who they're working with. They know that there's no chance.
Also have to worry about their other clients as well.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. I saw something that top CEOs have, you know, had like a private call last week to kind of figure out what to do to pressure Trump to like kind of make a deal with him, like sweet talk him into conceding because they were worried that it was going to start to hurt like their profits. I'm like, that's right. Speak to the money.
Democracy. You know, potato, potato, whatever.
Yep, one and the same.
So wait, why does somebody tell us a fun story about, or just anything about where you were when you found out that they called the race for Biden and what you did to celebrate? Kayla, go. Oh, JP was getting a COVID test.
Say that again.
JP was getting a COVID test, and I think so was Joy Reid. She in an interview and said she had like the, she was like mid nostril. Well, she found out. Yeah, good times. Yes. Was it negative? Do you have COVID?
Is negative the good or the bad?
The good.
I guess it depends.
Yeah,
I'm good. I'm fine.
Okay. So I guess it depends if there's a family party you want to get out of going to in 2 weeks.
Oh yeah, no, I'm bad. Boy, so red.
Randy says, I was in my car returning from the post office. Whee! Hey, that's pretty symbolic as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kayla, when I called on you, I asked what you were doing.
With the election?
Yeah, what happened when you found out and how you celebrate? Yeah.
I was just watching the news constantly. We don't get cable, so I was just live streaming a bunch of channels.
Same.
And I think it was just so I could constantly stay informed, but it also was nice to see more objective view because yeah, we normally don't watch the news. And so I feel like I just get a lot from social media. And so it was nice to hear from literally everyone, including Fox News, that like, there's no fraud. There's no this, like, there's no evidence. And yeah, I even called my dad pretty much when we knew like Biden was going to win after he got caught up with Pennsylvania and Georgia. I was like, he's going to win. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, like all these crazy people on the other side, you know, saying that there's fraud and all this. I'm like, where are you get, like, I don't understand where you're getting this from when every single news station is like, no, there's nothing there. There's no credible evidence of that. And my dad legit called Trump a sociopath and he voted for him 4 years ago. And I was like, I almost started crying. I was like, oh my God, you have come so far. Like, this is amazing. So I think that in combination with that, like, definitely made me feel a lot better because, yeah, the week up to the election was a lot of anxiety. But like once the election happened, it was a little bit better. And I think just because I was staying so informed and I learned so much from listening to all the news and how all the different states count their ballots and, you know, recall laws and all that stuff is very, very interesting stuff. But yeah, feeling much better now.
Yeah. Matt said he was in McDonald's parking lot, which is a pretty American place to find out. I suppose just as American as the post office. Alicia was at her work computer. Oh, I'm sorry. At her computer writing a brief for work and kept checking Twitter. So, yeah. So did anybody else do like pop the champagne immediately or your, you know, celebratory food or drink of choice? No. Oh, you were doing work.
Just us.
It was, continuing on with what I did on election night. My sister had come over that morning to pick up my niece who had stayed with us. And I was watching Dawson's Creek. And then my phone went off and I looked at it. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I turned on the news and she's like, we did it. We did it. And I was like, we did. And then probably like 10 minutes later, my 85-year-old grandmother called her. She was like, did you see? Are you watching TV? Turn the TV on. And she's like, Mandy has it on.
Yeah.
Here. She's like, did you see that, though? I voted for him. She wanted us to be very clear that she voted for Biden. The last 4 years ago, she didn't vote that way. But she wants us all to know that she voted Biden this time and we won.
Love it.
Oh, that's great.
That's nice. Awesome. It definitely feels like, I mean, obviously Senate stuff aside, it definitely feels like a weight is off because at the very least, he can reverse a lot of policy things right away, which is good. Yeah, just think of all the think pieces we're going to get about what does it mean that he's overturning all of Stephen Miller's policies? I mean, it means that we might be a racist country, but we're getting rid of the Nazis. That's what it means.
Step one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Do you guys want to talk about the lack of concession?
I just like it's November 16th, 2020. Can we just take a moment to note that date? I mean, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. And I've said it every time we've podcasted since it was called, which was maybe only once, but whatever. I've been like, where are the Republicans? And some of them are trickling in. But again, like, I don't want to trickle down. Where are you?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the party? Like, I get it that all y'all care about is power, but like, you're not supposed to show your hand so much. You're supposed to at least pretend that you care about democracy. Where are they?
Right. It's like eventually someone has to be the adult in the room and step up for what is right, because now we are seriously putting our country at risk by denying the president-elect the funds and the briefings that he is fully entitled to and needs for a smooth transition of power.
Yes.
And not to mention, like, putting democracy at risk. We are calling mm-hmm. into question our own democracy. Why would you do that if you are in government?
So there were several, you know, quotes from anonymous sources that, you know, people that didn't want their names attached to things that essentially were like, we don't really think he's going to stay in power. Of course, we're not really going to let it. But like, you know, what's the big deal? Just let him think like this for now. And it's like, he's a 72-year-old man. Yeah. That's the big deal. 74 years old. Whoever
also,
is like,
the country is at risk when you don't have smooth communication between the next person that's going to take over. Like, it is so much more than someone's tiny little fragile ego. Yeah.
Well, and it's also what we were saying before about, like, this whole 4 years, he'll like push a little bit and not get any pushback. So then he'll push a little bit further. So like, if you don't fucking push back, then eventually you might not have a democracy anymore. And it's so enraging to see how this is going down when 4 years ago, Hillary Clinton lost, even though she won a significant more amount of votes, she lost the Electoral College votes. She conceded. She wished him sincerely well. She went off and hiked in the woods afterwards, but she conceded and told everyone that we should give him an honest try. And maybe she didn't mean those words and maybe she did. It doesn't matter, but she said them. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that now, 4 years later, now they can be like, I've heard people saying like, oh, and Hillary's still saying that she didn't. It's like, no. She did legitimately get more of the popular vote. That's facts and math. But nobody's saying that she actually won, you know, with our messed up process, the 2016 election. That's not what we're saying. But she did concede and she did do the normal thing and the graceful thing. And so now 4 years later, the fact that they would like twist that into something that it's not, and B, coddle somebody so much when it's like, you are a grown ass adult. Like we shouldn't have to put on our kid gloves with you. We shouldn't have to be treating you like a toddler. We shouldn't have to.
Because you're the president of the United States.
Exactly. Can we just like spell that out really plainly and clearly? You should not have to coddle the president of the United States of America.
Yeah.
He should be coddling the country.
Yeah.
I mean, can like, you imagine in any other bonkers job where it would be like, okay, you're not going to be moving on to the next position or whatever, but we should give you some time to like really come to terms, come around to this decision. Like, no, this does not exist. So the fact that there was an election, he lost. This happens literally every 2 years. People get elected, there's always a loser. Like, get over it. But the fact that his people come out and say these things like, oh, we're just giving him time. Like, excuse me?
We're in the middle of a pandemic. Literally thousands of people are dying at an alarming rate. We need to get this thing going. Like, you've lost, sit down. Let's get the country back on track. Like, oh my God.
Well, and it is kind of sad that the fact that we can't actually just shut the F up and do that, it really goes to show that some people are interested in governing and some people are just interested in watching it burn for the sake of burning or something. I don't know.
Interested in the power, not in the job.
In the power. Because at this point, you have to say, like, given everything that is obvious to everyone, you can't. Like, you can't deeply care about our democracy and deeply care about the people of the United States and deeply care about our country if you're also pulling these shenanigans. Mm-hmm. Because to Amanda's point, you're putting the country in danger. And the thing is, like, by putting, like, that, you know, report from the 9/11 that said that there was, you know, potentially, like, since there wasn't a transition right away, since it took so long to figure out who's even
president. Yes, that's right.
Because I was going to bring that up, Shandy. Thank you for bringing it up. Yeah.
So do we learn nothing? Because the thing is, if there's anything, God forbid, that were to happen that they should be studying right now, the thing is, like, it's not just going to, like, affect, you know, people who vote Democrat. Like, it's going to affect the entire country. So, exactly. Again, like, You can't act this way and like truly care about the country. And that's why I'm like, for every Republican out there, please, this is your time. Like, please stand up. Please say something. It should be happening in the Senate. It should be happening in Congress at large. But even just like normal Republicans, please start calling for this nonsense to end, because that's how it changes. So, and if you don't say anything, then
And honestly, we shouldn't even be wasting time talking about this, because it's just distracting from so many other things that are going on right now. JP said Trump is acting like the kid who doesn't want to play baseball anymore, so he takes his equipment home with him. Judy said if the Dems were pulling this, the walls would be falling down.
Yeah,
that's right. I mean, if the Democrats were doing this, you know, I don't even know. Like, the Republicans would be lighting themselves on fire outside of Congress just to, like, you know, prove their point. Yeah, good point. Mandy brought up Pompeo, which we talked about on the show last week. Which is asinine.
Oh, so irresponsible.
Yeah.
And Republicans need to learn what an actual joke is. That's a part of the problem, is they're not funny. They're not. Because it takes a certain mindset to be funny. And it takes empathy to be funny. And they keep saying these absurd things. That's Trump's go-to, is that, oh, once it blows up in your face, you're like, oh, it was a joke. Well,
but
honey,
that actually,
funny.
That,
you're going to tell jokes, be funny.
Well, that, see, the thing is, that's actually like part of an authoritarian playbook, is they test the waters at what they could get away with. And, you know, otherwise it's just joking. Taser said, I showed my students McCain's concession speech, and it's like, how do we get to this point since 2008? Well, I think Barack Obama said it best in his interview. Was it on 2020 60 Minutes? One of those.
Was a bunch. 60 Minutes.
I think it was the 60 Minutes one is the one I'm talking about, where he was just like, my election, my presence triggered a whole bunch of, you know, racists, basically. yes. Okay. And then, Trump is 74 going on 3. does anybody want to unmute and contribute? Please do. I love your background, Matt. I want to talk about Total Landscaping, the Four Seasons Total Landscaping. I actually had a bunch of tweets queued up last week and forgot all about them, and then tried to get Shandy and Amanda to re-record with me for like days straight. I was like, just come on for 10 minutes. I just want to talk about the Total Landscaping thing.
We denied you that smooth transition.
Yeah, everybody was like, new number, who dis? I was like, okay, how about later?
Refused to concede and pretty give much. You what you wanted.
I was like,
even though you did all the work and you won it fair and square.
Pretty much, because the first time I asked you was in the middle of the day, and Shandy was like, no piking. And I was like, okay, how about tonight? And then later on that night, everybody was like,
I got back late.
Whoa, 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 la, 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 la. And then the next day.
Fair. My excuses were legitimate.
Fair.
Ego was not involved.
Anyway, yeah. So, whatever. Let's talk about the Four Seasons Landscaping thing. Please, can we talk about it? Because it is, like, the best way for this whole thing to end. The fact that the election was called while it was going on. I mean, it was pretty great, guys, right?
It's a sitcom joke.
It really was.
It's a total sitcom joke.
Yeah.
Is it better than
like,
it was at
you wouldn't put that in the movie. Like, that's not, that's such a cliche hack joke. That's not going to happen in real
life. That's how a Will Ferrell political movie ends.
Yeah. But did anybody hear the legit reason why they picked it?
Oh, please tell
me. Oh, my God, no.
So the claim was that they picked it on purpose to appeal to the common American.
Yes. Also,
no,
we're joking.
Because it was right next to the dildo shop and across from the
crib. I call bullshit.
Oh my God.
Of course.
You can't make this stuff
up. Somebody came out and was trying to be like, oh no, it was on purpose.
Now that's like a Veep episode, if I ever heard one. I think that might have been like they picked it up off the cutting room floor. Like, oh, this is actually a great idea. We should do this.
I didn't realize, because I actually never finished Veep, but Jay did, and I didn't realize how many storylines of Veep actually came to pass over the last few weeks. With the stop the count, keep the stop the count, start the count thing, and it all came down to, was it Arizona? Did anybody watch?
I actually didn't finish it either.
Okay.
But eventually. I you know, you always hear that, like, political people say that, like, that is the show that gets it the closest to actuality and what working government is really like.
Well, I know that they talked to, like, they did a lot of, like, research talking to people that worked in government, because they were on Pod Save America like 2 years ago or something, and they were talking about, like, stories that they used in storylines and ones that actually came from some of the hosts of the podcast. And then the I guess one of the things where she steals somebody's speech or takes it or whatever was something that happened with, like, a John Kerry speech or something like that.
Also Melania.
Yeah, right. That,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And then there was another thing. Oh, Obama went to the wrong airport when he was supposed to do, like, a rally or something, or give a speech or something, and he ended up going to the wrong airport. And that is also a plot in Veep, because they got the story from, like, you know, from the administration. So anyway, okay. So Alicia says, a dildo shop and a crematorium sure appeal to the average person. Look, we are in the middle of a pandemic where you've had to socially distance. So you can either enjoy the dildo shop, or you might be enjoying the crematorium. So just saying.
Ooh, this has gotten very dark.
So is 2020. So is America.
It's a seasonally appropriate humor.
Yes. JP, in 9 months, a lot of baby girls are going to be named Georgia and Four Seasons Total Landscaping. Season. It's instead of, like, autumn or May, it's now just going to be straight up season.
May is not a season.
I know. But, okay. But it means spring. You know, it symbolizes spring. I don't know.
You know, winter, autumn, September.
Oh, winter's a name too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Summer. Why did I go for summer? Summer is an actual, like,
I don't know. Or even like name. June. Like something. I guess May is a name, but it's like M A E, not M A Y. I think is the name spelling. I don't know. Who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Anyway, what else do we want to talk about? Unless you guys have more. Unless you guys want to hit me with some more. Four Seasons Total Landscaping jokes. Let's see this one. Hey Siri, remind me in 5 months about Four Seasons Total Landscaping. Oh man, I accidentally bought stock in Pfizer Total Landscaping.
Shoot.
Holy shit, I just sold the show to HBO Total Landscaping. It's never gonna get old, to me at least. Four Seasons Total Landscaping would make a great name for a Brazilian waxing salon.
That's good.
Okay, this one is, you know, Stefan. This is the last one. Stefan from, because the rest I'll save for tomorrow. I think Kayla has seen this one.
I've seen this one too.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's Stefan, you know, doing his, like, thing. And so picture this in his voice. Like, Philly's hottest club is Four Seasons Total Landscaping. They've got everything. A crematorium, a dildo store, Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, yeah. So good.
Yeah. So good. Oh, as Rose said, all the memes, like, in front of, like, Enterprise Rent-A-Car. There's also been the Supreme Courtyard by Marriott has been another... joke. Rudy's gonna go take the case to the Supreme Courtyard of my Marriott. It really was the, you know, it was the perfect way for all of it. Just the incompetence. Okay, I'll save some more of these for tomorrow, maybe. All right. Anything else about the election? How are we feeling about the Georgia Senate race? Is everybody else as nervous as I am? The runoffs?
Yeah, I'm fairly nervous. Not going to lie.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of nods, which is a visual thing, not for audio.
Yeah. Purdue did not agree to another debate.
I know.
Ossoff challenged him. Huh. Then he declined.
Probably because he saw that, you know, Lindsey Graham was able to win without doing another debate. Actually, he didn't do the second debate the first time, right? Because he got so humiliated the first time around.
Yep. So this is the second time he's refused to do a debate.
Does anybody think that Kelly Loeffler will do one? Did she already say that she wasn't, or did I miss that?
I didn't see anything about that one.
Okay. Nobody here is in Georgia right now, right? Okay. I was wondering if they're doing attack ads. I know they've got the Midas Touch has the attack ad about her making money like with the stock sales. But I'm wondering why we don't see more attack ads. Like, she is literally the richest person in Congress, right? Mm-hmm. At least in the Senate. So why doesn't anybody like hit her that like she's not the like everyday, you know, suburban woman that they're portraying her as? Like, she's like a Betsy DeVos. Like, she's like an evil rich lady. Like, I don't understand. Lisa, Loeffler has been tweeting a lot saying the election is stolen. Of course. Yes, because she called on the Secretary of State to resign too, right?
Wow.
Yeah. And now that dude's getting death threats, as we've talked about before, which, you know, is crazy. It is kind of crazy, though, like, how quickly people go to death threats. Maybe they always have, and I just, you know, didn't have, like, Twitter to find this out, but, like...
And how quickly Republicans go against their own.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, everybody's... Well,
not quickly enough in certain cases.
Throwing a big, fat tantrum.
Right, yes, yeah, there you go.
As opposed to it's a case-by-case
it's like
basis.
There's... two extremes. They know no middle ground.
no, they really don't.
Yeah.
All right. I'm trying to think. Is there anything else? Biden picked his chief of staff, Ron Klain, who was the Ebola coordinator, czar person. So, and he seems to be saying the right things on the talk shows, from what I've seen the clips of. You know, just, you know, the basics. Like, it's not up to Donald Trump who, whether or not he's president in January. The American people said it, and they said he lost. You know, the bare minimum. So that's good. Looking forward to cabinet picks coming out. Thankfully, Kamala's on the Senate Intelligence Committee. So even if she can't share what she's hearing, like, with Biden, she at least has some sense of what they're stepping into, right?
Gosh, yeah. I hope so. Yeah, I didn't even really think about that. But yeah, I would hope so.
Oh, I'm sorry, Randy. I just saw that you said something, too. Way too much money being spent that could have been used for better things. But what you going to do? Oh, with the election? Yeah, there's going to be a lot of deep dive postmortems there. I feel a lot better, though. I mean, I know we didn't get the wave on election night and we were all kind of like freaking out. But like... It does seem like this actually really was a referendum on Trump in a way that I believe most of the Republican senators that won re-election had a higher vote share in several states. Like, John Cornyn got more votes in Texas than Donald Trump did. So I think there is evidence that there was some ballot splitting. Mm-hmm. And I believe that that was also the case with... God, what's his name? The one that in Montana, Shandy.
Danes?
Who was Steve Bullock going against?
Danes. Right?
Okay. Because I think he also got a higher vote share than Trump did. So, I mean, while there is while there is a very long way to go with, you know, the so many people voting for Trump, I do think that there might be cracks there that people, you know, did look at it and say, nope.
Yeah, definitely. Speaking of Montana, though, Montana is going to be under Republican leadership at the state level for the first time in like 16 years, and it really fucking sucks. Like, I mean, Tester's still there, but like the governor is a piece of shit who's not even Montanan. But speaking about like the Betsy DeVos's of the world who have no business being in their job, that makes me really sad for like the future of the state and public lands and everything. But
yeah. What do you mean about Veterans Affairs, Judy?
One of my former students has been named to the transition committee. So I don't think it's a major role, but it's hard to say. I'm not exactly sure, but it's what she's working on is part of the Veterans Affairs team.
That's cool. Great.
That's
awesome. Really neat.
Yeah.
It's kind of strange because I'm like, well, she did a fellowship there a few years ago, but she's back working at my school, you know, teaching students in my program. So it's really strange to like know somebody from when they were a student, now have them teaching, and now having like, oh, Biden just picked me for the transition team.
Big deal. That's awesome.
That is super cool. That's awesome. Let me see what else is. Please speak up if I haven't read your comment. For a second, they were coming too quick for me. That's what she said. Matt says, I wonder how quickly Republicans will pretend Trump never happened. I don't know.
It's going to take some time.
I think the base is all riled up now. Like, you know, they're gonna do what the base mandates.
And he's still like, for whatever reason, he's not smart. He's not articulate. He's not compassionate. He's not empathetic. And he's not good at business. So I'm not sure what it is, but there is something about him that people love. Maybe it's the racism. That's what people love.
There's something
about him that people really gravitate towards. And so I do think that he's going to still have a fairly big voice moving forward. And I know that his leeches of offspring are going to want to as well.
Yeah, but they don't have what
he has. I don't think they have that special something.
I don't know. Don Jr. is really popular in that community.
Is he really?
I know. It makes zero sense because he's awful.
He's such an asshole.
More so. But it's like I have heard things that like he ended up being the most effective operative like of all the sort of Trump figureheads, that he was the one that was the most effective in rallying up the base and getting support.
Gross.
Which is crazy.
Oh God, that's terrifying,
right?
Because I was terrifying. Sort of hoping that the kids would just like lose steam because they're equally as terrible, but hopefully wouldn't. Oh God, that's.
Yeah. So I think, and Tasia, if you want to unmute and say that, because I think this is going to piggyback off of what I am about to say. I think that what the thing is that Trump has is a, like, you know, they aspire to be like the whole rich businessman like persona originally. But I think he knows exactly how to play the media, how to like literally set the agenda for the day. And he speaks fluent anger, is that he knows everybody has gotten so much like before they were, you know, I mean, they were racist, but like now it's like they are angry on top of everything else. And he knows how to like stoke people's anger and like play to that. And, you know, they think that he relates to them, even though he couldn't give a crap about them. He hasn't been to a coronavirus task force meeting in months. He hasn't, you know, out there like with a mask mandate. He doesn't care about them. He drove through the 1,000 MAGA rally the other day, and you know, on his golf car, in his town car on the way to play golf, like he could have sat there and like spoke to them and like, you know, had his fucking Ava Perone moment again, and he didn't. Like, he doesn't give a shit about them. He just gives a shit about them liking him, and that's pretty much it. So I don't know. I think that that's what it is that he has, is that he had this persona that was clearly turned out to be fake, but now he knows how to talk to people because they're angry at the class divides in this country. They're angry at stagnant wages. They're angry at the way that like conservative media has like told them that like affirmative action is taking their jobs. They're angry at this. They're angry at that. They think that there's a war on Christmas and they're angry that they can't say Merry Christmas anymore to a Jewish person because I don't know why you would want to, but okay. You know, when you can just say Happy Holidays or Happy Hanukkah, but that's besides the point. But I think that like it's just he's played up all the anger and he speaks fluent that to them, and that's why they think that he relates to them when he doesn't give a shit about them.
It's the image. It's like he's created this brand that is really appealing, I think, to a lot of people. But it's, you know, and they're not willing to see that it's just all a facade.
Right. Like, they don't understand that the thing that he did with the tax cuts for them might have been great, like, in year one. But, like, those expire in 10 years. And the really rich people that aren't paying them more, that refuse to pay them a living wage, while they've made billions of dollars of profits in the last 10 months of the pandemic does not care about them, and he's not doing anything to help them. How many times was he like, I'm going to go tomorrow. I'm going to tell the drug companies to lower prescription drug prices. And then like nothing would happen. And then like he would need a good headline. And, you know, 3 weeks later, he'd be like, tomorrow, I'm going to tell them to lower prescription drug prices. And then like 2 months would go by and 3 months would go by. And 5 months later, and he's like, tomorrow, prescription drug prices, people. It's like, never get around to do it because he's lazy, doesn't care.
Yep. It's just words.
Yeah, there's just constant word vomit that comes out. And Tej's comment was about how people like him because he's not worried about being PC, which, I mean, I think we've all heard before. And I think that this is the time to maybe like collectively admit that not caring about being PC is really just code for being unabashedly racist and sexist. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really what it means.
Yes.
Yes. I was thinking about this yesterday because somebody, because. Mm-hmm. Remember that cancel culture bullshit thing that they had, like, with, was it, like, Adam Carolla and somebody, like, it's stupid. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? They had, like, cancel culture con or some stupid thing like that. And my uncle and my cousin were watching it and, like, you know, texting the group chat about, like, yeah, this is so excellent. And I just remember being, like, cancel culture is not a thing. Cancel culture is about just telling people to be decent fucking human beings to other human beings. Don't be an asshole. And, you know, otherwise people don't want to associate with you. Like, why should they give their money or attention to somebody who is just...
Yeah. And Kayla added... Because
he gives them someone to blame for all their problems.
Except the people who should be blamed.
Exactly. Just basic scapegoating. Like, fuck, did you guys... Mm-hmm. Did they not, like, learn anything? This is scapegoating 101.
I mean, he stands up and says, you know, Mexicans are stealing your jobs and they're raping your people and they're making your life suck. And, you know, you're not making much money and the factory's closing. It's their fault. I'll keep them out. You love me, right?
Mm-hmm. You know. It's an oversimplification of very complicated problems that usually result in just like white people being kind of like not great.
Yeah. Randy said, looking forward. Oh, I'm sorry. If I didn't get anybody's in the chat, please feel free to unmute and finish contributing. I'm sorry I didn't give you a chance to talk, Tasia. I'm the worst.
Yeah, like it's excuse, like beyond racism and anti-Semitism to also be homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic, all the phobics and just be an asshole. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's not that hard to be a decent human and just respect others for who they are and who they want to be. I really don't think it's that fucking hard. So yeah.
That's I was typing in the chat about how you think about movies from like our childhoods, like Pretty in Pink, for example, where it's like, that's a classic movie. We all love that. But like rape scene, like, you know, like here, I want to go fuck my girlfriend. Enjoy. She's passed out, but I promise she'll like it. It's like, we think about stuff like that, like Adam Sandler movies where it's like, oh, it's really funny, but you revisit it as adults. It's like, this is kind of problematic. And it's like, I feel like for the people who are like, yeah, he talks like me. I feel like there's like this weird nostalgia to go back to those times where it's like, what about when like, you know, we can laugh about rape or like what if someone's culture and it wasn't a big deal. And it's like, I feel like it's those people who just don't understand like that we are evolving. And it's like, great. That was great. Like when we were kids and we didn't know any better, but it's like, we're in a different place now. Let's fucking grow up some.
Yes. Yeah. And those are the people who think that everybody is out to get them, that everybody wants to, everybody's making fun of them. Everybody's making them the victims. You know, evangelicals think that they're about to be arrested for being Christian. Like, so the people that want the right to make fun of everybody else to go back to the good old days are the ones that are like the easiest of offended that somebody's making fun of them.
Yeah, it's the fear of being uncomfortable. It's the fear of facing things about yourself that need to change. It's all of that. It's just really sad.
Yeah. And it is, I mean, to go back to what you were saying, Colleen, too, about how it's just like there's so much just like hate and anger. And that's such a destructive emotion. Like it can be powerful, but at this point, I mean, like they really are going to give themselves high blood pressure. I don't think that it's sustainable. Like you should look into that. But also, if that's the only message that your party is sending you, you know, at some point you have to take your anger and use it to come up with solutions and work towards, you know, fixing problems. And I don't see there being that step because, again, a lot of what they're angry about isn't what isn't true, like isn't what's actually going on. If you're angry at a scapegoat, then like you yourself are not getting it to the root of the problem. So you really can't get to that point where you're like harnessing that to fix something because, again, you're just like missing the mark.
Right.
But it's scary because it's super destructive and horrible.
Right. And it's also interesting. It's an interesting look at human psyche at how so much one group of people and all the factors that go into it can easily believe something like that entire political party is the devil or, you know, something like the QAnon stuff that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Like it's just very telling look at human nature.
And also like if that's your mindset, I mean, shit, we can all make mistakes, but let's try to be like decent human beings, I guess. Like this is me trying to give them the benefit of the doubt, but like even so, when your savior figure can't string together a coherent sentence. Again, like I'm not trying to be ableist or like you know, he's not the leader that people think that he is. And I don't understand that. Like you can't laud somebody for being like the smartest businessman ever when really he's just not smart and he can't really use his mind in a very compelling and like coherent way.
Yeah.
And that's the person you want to get behind. That's the other thing is like, I mean, if it was me, like, I would be embarrassed. You wake up one day and you're like, that's who I've been following? It would be embarrassing. So I get that some people maybe, like, aren't ready to face the facts because it's a bad look. Yeah. And you have to admit that, like, wow, I was a fucking idiot.
Judy, right? Yes, well, that was a great point.
Tasia actually had some really good points in the chat I think we should address.
Okay.
Tasia, I don't want to steal your words. So maybe if you want to just read them for us.
So again, just commenting on what everyone's saying, it's like no one wants to be told they're wrong. And then like think about the Black Lives Matter movement. When it first started, I feel like so many of us were so easily triggered, like, well, I'm not racist. Like, but then you have to like reflect on like the things that you have been doing or the things that you have not been doing. And it's like, oh, fuck. Like maybe I could have been doing things a little better, but no one wants to be told they're wrong. It's like to have to acknowledge that maybe you aren't living your life as perfectly as you think you might be. It takes a higher level of like thinking of like yourself and like just acknowledging the fact like we all fuck up. That's fine. Now, how can we grow from this? Like, I feel like the people who support Trump, like they just, there's a level of that. But there's also like, where are they getting their sources? You know, like one of my significant others, like very good friends, like, you know, he, you know, was commenting the fact that his friend is a headline reader. It's like, he's like reading his headlines, like Trump's gonna like, you know, like support us and like Biden's gonna increase our taxes. And it's like, if you make over $400,000, which you don't, and you never will. So it's like, it's that where it's like, I'm not going to take the time to really educate myself. I'll listen to what my friends say. I'll read the headlines. Like, yeah, no, I totally read that. Like, it's real problematic. It's real, real problematic.
It's the misinformation, disinformation problem that goes to the lack of critical thinking, which we've talked about before. That does. I mean, I don't know how we fix it. Like, the Epic Times showed up in our mailbox the weekend before the election. And, you know, I had heard that it was like, you know, the boogeyman of new conservative, like, disinformation. And they were just like, I had read that they were like giving it out like for free. And it was just like the crazy of the crazy. And a week later, it shows up. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to burn this. Like, I don't even want to look at it. And it was crazy. It was like all the Wuhan virus, all the, you know, China is doing this against us. China is trying to destroy President Trump. China, you know, it was just very much like, and I'm not saying like China is a good country by any means. I mean, China's pretty fucked up, doing some horrendous things, but just the amount of scare tactics in it and like things that were like meant to drum up sympathy for big strong man Trump. And I only got through like half of it. I was just like, all right, I'm out. Like, are there movie reviews in this? Yeah. But
but that's, I mean, like, again, that's what I really don't understand with the Republicans is, like, if you think in your mind that you are pro-democracy, how is it that you don't see the signs? Like, how do you not realize that so many things that Trump has been doing are so...
Because you're not going doing... You're not doing the critical thinking for yourself. You're going to your news media sources that are going, you see something that you don't like, you go to your news media source that's going to break it down for you and tell you what you want to hear. It happens on both sides, of course, but like it
sure
happens like, I don't know, it's like totally distorted. Yeah.
It's so flagrant.
Yeah. Does anybody want to, anything else with this? Otherwise, in the last few minutes we have, does anybody want to talk COVID since numbers are getting up there? Texas is doing really badly. Everybody is starting to like really have like a big uptick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. California too. And oops, Newsom, sorry, I was just reading before we got on here that Newsom went to a birthday party that had more people than his own fucking guidelines. I was like, dude, get it the fuck together. So we had to go take a COVID test and then tell people, yeah. I mean, he apologized and he admitted that he should be walking the walk that he's talking. But like, dude, are you kidding me? A birthday party?
Yeah.
I've never liked him.
So I thought that I like that he really took the virus seriously from the beginning and put in a lot of measures. And it looks like we are on a super big uptick and he's going to be cracking down even more. But like, you can't do that if you're not also practicing what you preach.
We need to figure out a way in this country to, like, a total shutdown again may not be, like, maybe unavoidable, but, like, there needs to be, it's not like the virus is going to go away even after we come out of another shutdown, because we're still a good period of time from, like, having enough vaccine available to, like, have the herd immunity. So we need to really figure out a way that we're going to have some kind of, like, sustainable new way of life.
Right, because we don't even know if like, herd immunity for this is even going to work.
Right, because like, there antibodies are cases disappear. Where
people have gotten COVID more than once.
Yeah, the lady that took my blood when I did the when I donated blood last month, she was telling me that she truly believes that there's two different strains of it. One that's not as that one that's more mild, and one that's like more severe. And her personal belief,
I've heard that too. I think Fauci has said stuff like that.
Yeah,
like I was going to say, one that goes
mutates very rapidly, so there's like
one that goes to humans and one that goes to minks,
like the animals, or like people's coats.
Two reports in two different countries of them.
Interesting. Oh yes, that's right. Yes, we talked about that.
Two vastly different countries.
We talked about
that. Which is again like, let's not raise minks.
It's somewhere like in Scandinavia, they had to kill 6 million mink.
In like Denmark or something, and then a totally different place too.
Okay, so I have follow up questions. So, are we saying that then the mink COVID can transfer back to humans? Like humans can give COVID to minks, and ergo minks can give COVID to humans? Is this what we're saying? That it can go back and forth?
Yes.
And have we studied other animals? Or is this just something
well, we
just
know bats.
With the minks because...
It's the revenge of the minks because we've warned them for so long that they're really pissed.
It's their Braveheart moment. They're like rising up.
I know we can give it to cats, but I don't think cats can give it to us.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
Awesome.
Because cats know their place.
Oh! Oh, them are some words.
I remember worrying about that at the very beginning because we were like, oh, our cats go outside. Like, if they go outside and they hang out with our neighbors and then they come back here.
Yeah. Mm. The one good thing is that there's actually so much more information now about COVID, like how it spreads. Because when we first went into lockdown, we didn't know how it spread. We didn't know how to treat it. There was a lot of things that we just didn't know. And now, you know, we didn't know how it attacked or if it would mutate. And thankfully, the virus itself is not mutating, you know, very quickly, so they are able to have an effective vaccine against it. Moderna said today that they had one that was 94.5% effective, as Alicia points out in the chat, which they were working on that RNA one where they like pivoted, right? Didn't they already have a vaccine like half made for some for RNA viruses or something else, and they were able to quickly, you know, redirect their attention when this came out. I believe I remember reading about that.
Yeah, because I think it's like we have been studying like novel coronaviruses for a while.
Yeah, but that's great.
That's, yeah, that's cool. All I know about this one is that it doesn't have to be at negative 5 million degrees,
which sounds a lot more doable.
Yes, that's right.
Like negative 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like at least now I feel like even if we had to go into another lockdown to like stop a rapid spread, another spike would have inevitably happened. But if we can, we know ways to fix it now. Like we know, you know, to wear your mask. We know to socially distant. We know, you know, we just know more things than we had. And again, it would be like slowing the spread because the death rate went down. But now again, there's too many cases that they can't hospitalize everybody in certain states again. And that's, you know, right? That's where we're hitting the problem.
It's here we are again. Yeah.
Here we are again.
And same thing in France. They're totally locked down again, but like totally, totally locked down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, but, and the thing is like, I don't, you know, I wasn't following like super closely more so that, well, I mean, I was following what was going on in France because like talking to family there and stuff, but maybe not quite as close as the US, but it seemed like they did a good job at the beginning. And then over the summer when they reopened, it was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's when it never existed.
But that's when like, something like contact tracing is helpful too, but you have to be honest about reporting where you were. And that's the other,
but also like
the downside.
If you know that you're still not quite out of the woods and you know a second wave is coming, like why reopen things like bars? I just don't understand it. Or even over the summer, like reopen indoor dining. Like that's what I mean. In France, it was just like anything goes.
Yeah, and that is crazy.
Now
that is crazy.
They are back where they started.
And so the kids went back to school this week for the first time, like all of them, because they each went back for 1 week with 6 or 7 kids in the class. And this is the first week that all of K-3 are back, and 4 and 5 are being integrated in now at their 1 week rotation. So they go back this week, they're home next week for remote learning, and then they're in school for the first 2 weeks of December, and then they're home for a week of remote learning. And then once we get to Christmas is on a Saturday, right? Friday. So I think they do remote learning, I don't know, that week before Christmas, and then they're off until the beginning of February. And I think it was built that way, anticipating the second wave and higher numbers where, you know, everybody is home and they don't have to deal with remote learning. And then I guess we just figure it out where we are, you know, 2 months from now. But it's great. Everything is going great. We didn't have any homework today, which was wonderful because they were all getting to know each other in class.
Oh, nice. That's good.
I know. I was very happy. Because computer homework sucks.
Yeah, I imagine it would.
Well, because he also can't. So he's gotten pretty good about the keyboard because using the mouse, it's really tough for him to like do the drawing thing. And we finally today got him the Chromebook that was, it's the little itty bitty one. It was like, it looks like an iPad, and it has its own like little keyboard that's attached. So it's like iPad keyboard, but it's a Chromebook because they're all like attached. So it's not a tablet. It doesn't work like a tablet. It works like a Chromebook, but it was little and it was cheap. So we were like, cool, because it was a touch screen, because now he can actually go back to like drawing his letters again instead of. Because I've noticed lately he's been asking me, is the B this way or this way? And I'm like, you know which way a B is. And he, just not having to write it out all the time, he's gotten.
Oh, man.
He's not
getting
repetition of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's on me. Maybe I should have. We were doing in the spring and in the summer, we were doing a lot more of those workbooks. But we stopped doing them once school started in August. And maybe that's on me. I'm teachers on here. I'm so sorry. Don't judge me. But like,
there's so much going on.
So I'm hoping with the touch screen, it will, you know, at least he'll get back into the rhythm of like doing the motions and learning it himself. So, but I don't know. So yes, Thanksgiving, we're staying here. I know everybody was talking about it in the chat.
Yeah. Same.
Unclear.
Yeah. Christmas is going to be interesting. See what everybody does.
Yeah. Christmas, like, we had talked about visiting my brother, and we're like, okay, we can, like, self-quarantine for 2 weeks and then, like, drive there and then, like, just stay there and, like, we'll be okay and that'll be safe. But then I'm like, is it really a good idea to drive across multiple states in a pandemic? Probably not. So I think we're going to stay here.
Well, be safe, because if we do go to New York, we would drive, but we can do it with only one stop for bathrooms. Mm. And we would quarantine and we would get COVID tests before we left too. Mainly, yeah, for my
ours
grandma.
Would be like multiple days.
Yeah.
California, yeah. To Minnesota.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see. You guys are all going to be safe though, no matter what you do, right? For holiday season. Cool.
I think Randy just wanted you to be careful where you stop on your way up.
Yes.
Not to stop in the Jersey Turnpike where you almost got abducted.
We'd never do that. I do not go
there. It's a
there.
Good rule of thumb moving forward.
Yep.
Yeah.
Only once. I know. Hopefully it wasn't like a really convenient stopping point, because then you have
it
to
was,
like, find
and
a new
honestly,
one. And-
it was, and I actually did stop there over the summer when I drove up with the boys. I was just kidding. But I didn't go out in the back and, you know, ask employees for creepy directions to, yeah, to mailboxes. Yeah. So
don't look at anybody. Don't talk to anybody.
The check-in, was it again?
Yeah, but now I'm all about the rest stop in Delaware, the, like, Joe Biden one, and not just because it's, like, named after the president-elect of the United States who beat Donald J. Trump by a lot of votes. It's just, it's, like, super nice inside, and it's really big and spacious.
Nice.
And the family restrooms are clean, which is the most important part. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm sorry. There's so much. I've been paying attention. Oh, stop at the Turnpike exit with the Roy Rogers and stop by my place. I know the Roy Rogers one! You live near there? You live near there? Just unmute yourself and talk. It's fine.
I realized I could just unmute myself.
Yeah. No,
that's the Molly Pitcher stop, and that's like, it's like 90 minutes south of me.
I found a geocache at that one.
JP, we were there over the weekend when we were on our way to Gettysburg. That's exactly the rest stop we stopped at.
No way.
Yeah. I'm in Jersey, too.
We're close to you.
I could stop at your house.
Stop by. You can use my bathroom.
Sweet. We'll wear masks. Oh yeah. Alicia's in Jersey too, off of 287. What is? Oh, you're on mute. You're on mute. Still on mute. Hold on.
Still muted.
I'm gonna ask to unmute you. Okay, there we go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right off of 287 in Somerset County.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, near Bridgewater.
Go Patriots.
Yeah, I can hear them. Let me put it this way. I can hear them from my house.
Mm.
I can hear the fireworks.
I'm going to guess that that's not a football team.
It's the local minor league baseball team.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, they're fun. I went once. They're fun.
Yeah, we have the Durham Bulls here, and we loved going to games. They're fun, and they're cheap if you have kids and you need to leave early. You don't feel like you wasted your money. One day we'll get to go back to baseball games.
Yeah. I mean, they still had them this summer, but I guess they may have cut the attendance.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, you guys were in a lot better shape this summer than some of the rest of us were. Good times. Well, that's cool. Well, everybody, we did it. Raise a metaphorical glass. Cheers to yourselves, ourselves. Woo. All right. One national nightmare is over. Now the work to prevent it from happening again has started. Yep. I don't know why Shandy is laughing.
It was just one national nightmare. It was the phrasing. It made me chuckle.
Yeah.
Because it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Funny because it's true.
Yeah. It's like one nightmare down, one to go.
Well, thank you guys so much, though, for joining us on all of these. I've really liked to get to know people more and see more faces and talk about this. This helped my anxiety a lot. So thank you all so much. I'm going to miss doing them.
You're here. Me too. These have been really, really great.
Oh,
yeah.
I hope people have enjoyed them as much as we have.
Yeah, I do too. Come to our live 200th birthday show, which is also Broadsgiving on November 24th. Yeah, come to that. That'll be fun. We could do it over Zoom. Maybe if we have some, like, you know, more COVID news and after the inauguration. Maybe we could do another one of these in the new year just to kind of touch base on our thoughts on like the new administration and anything else. So,
yeah, I am cautiously optimistic about the developments on the vaccine front. Hopefully people will actually like go and get them. What I really hope is that we just force people, like, you can't fly unless you can prove that you've been vaccinated. I don't know. You can't go to restaurants.
I don't know if that will fly. That might be a little bit, you know.
Well, but it's like, you don't have to get the vaccine. You just can't do these things.
Exactly. You can't. I couldn't go to school if I didn't have vaccines. Like, I don't really see the difference. It's for the common good. But exactly. I'm cautiously optimistic. And I kind of love that some Republicans, I think I saw it in the chat too, have said that like the timing is fishy. And it's like, oh, honey, I know that the timing kind of works in your conspiracy theories, but I promise it's not a conspiracy. It's just good news.
Well, the dude from Pfizer did release a statement being like, no, here's exactly why we had this information today. But thank you.
They're not even part of like Project Warp Speed. Like, they've been doing this on their own. Like, come on.
Exactly.
But I will say Project Warp Speed is a pretty badass name.
It is a good name. I will give
that. Trump tried.
Something nice.
Tried.
Yeah, branding, something nice.
He's okay at branding. Catchy titles are kind of his thing. Yeah. Anything else, not so much.
Yeah.
They were saying on the news it would be March before mass distribution, so... Mm.
Even that feels really early.
But I feel like we can, for the first time, sort of start to see where the light is at the end of the tunnel, which that in and of itself, I think, is sort of giving me life.
Yeah.
We've been basically in lockdown here in California since March. So like, I can do a couple more months. Like, I got this. Mm-hmm. Especially if I know that
there's
like,
an end in sight.
Okay,
yeah.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think, yeah, that's really what it is. It's just that little bit of hope to help us refocus and do what we need to do so that we can get to that end point safely and with as many people alive as possible.
Yep.
All right. On that note, everybody be safe. Everybody stay well. Have a happy holiday season. I don't know. Wear your mask. The end.
And wash your hands.
And someday when we can have meetups again, consider coming to Raleigh and hanging out in person. We do karaoke and it's super fun.
Can you guys imagine just like how extra fun that's going to be? It's going to be great.
But you're going to have had your COVID vaccine before you can come.
Exactly. I'm all for that. Prove it. Prove it at the door.
Yep. Bring your papers.
All right, cool. Well, on that note, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for participating. We really appreciate it. Thank you to the patrons, especially the ones that contribute a certain level, and that we Tack from Tokyo, Eckhart Rickner. I'm sorry, Tack formerly of Tokyo. I'm never going to get used to saying that. Eckhart Rickner, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with a Plan, Greg the Gray, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to become a patron, go to patreon.com/jayandjack. If you have any feedback for this show or anything else, you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com, or give us a call, 331-276-2373, and leave a voicemail. We love our feedback here. Anyway, on that note, everybody, thank you again. Woo, 46. All right. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.